Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
The Americans have been able to shut down most of the reactors. But I'm gonna have to manage the override personally. Make sure those six melt down on schedule.
Is there anything I can do?
Take care of your mess?
I give you my word, my wife and son will be dead by the end of this day.
I'm not afraid of Father.
You should be.
He tried to kill me, and then he did this to you.
You're going to need to set things up on your end.
All right.
What do I do?
Divert suspicion.
Someone inside CTU is leaking information to someone on the outside.
Miss Driscoll, what's going on?
You're under arrest, Gavin.
For what?
You've been passing classified information.
Thousands of people's lives are at stake. Where are the people who control the override?
I swear I don't know anything.
Yeah.
We got a match, Jack.
His name is Henry Powell.
He's a computer consultant that used to work for McLennan Forrester.
They're the defense contractors that designed the override devices controlling the power plants.
You're going to fly me out of here.
Jack and Tony close in on Powell.
Drop the weapon now! Now!
Put him in the back.
Powell is shot by a sniper and collapses to the ground. Tony fingers Powell's neck for a pulse.
He's dead, Jack.
Damn it!
You got the wrong person. Sarah's not guilty of anything.
It's Marianne Taylor.
As Marianne tries to escape in her car, Curtis apprehends her.
You're under arrest.
As a CTU agent tries to unlock Marianne's car, there's an explosion, and Marianne is thrown to the ground, unconscious.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m.
An irate Curtis pounds up the stairs to Driscoll's office.
Coordinate that with NRC. Copy me on 60 Baker. Fine.
I warned you about her.
What are you talking about?
Marianne Taylor. I told you she was troubling. It was a mistake to let her work here.
No. You told me that you weren't comfortable working with her. You didn't tell me you were having a relationship with a corporate spy.
How could I possibly know that, Aaron? Don't play that card with me.
Fine, then don't walk in here with an I told you so attitude. Because now we both have to deal with this.
You mean division?
That's right. They're going to want a complete timeline. Everything from how Marianne got through the front door down to the high security files that she was able to access in a very short period of time.
Can we have a conversation off book?
Go ahead.
There's no point in either of us compromising our authority in the eyes of division. Agree or disagree?
Agreed.
Marianne did an excellent job in establishing her credentials. All we need to do is leave out some of the details on how she managed to leverage her way in here.
I don't like anyone holding something over me.
Neither do I.
How long will it take you to adjust the files?
2 minutes.
I'll call division at 5.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. President Keeler.
Explain to me how this mole, Marianne Taylor, was able to infiltrate CTU.
We're still investigating, Mr. President.
Who does she work for?
We don't know.
Find out.
We will as soon as she regains consciousness. She's being treated here in the clinic.
Treated for what?
An attempt on her life.
Who tried to kill her?
We don't know that either. But whoever it was, they're more than likely connected with the theft of the override.
Jim, we need to find that override now. What's the latest from the NRC?
They just reported the San Gabriel Island reactor's about to go critical.
What's the time frame?
A meltdown within the hour.
We started evacuating the San Gabriel zone. The population affected is less than 100,000. Hopefully most of them are already on the move.
All right. Expedite the process as much as you can.
Yes, sir.
Driscoll to Jack at the heliport.
Jack.
Aaron Powell's dead. He was hit by a sniper as soon as we took him into custody.
Get anything from him before he was killed?
No, but I managed to get the last 10 calls he made off his cell phone.
He called two numbers repeatedly. Through caller ID, we traced one of them to Marianne Taylor.
Powell was working with Marianne?
Apparently.
What about this other number?
Hold on. I'm gonna need you to trace it through CTU.
Okay, go ahead.
818-555-0539.
I'll get back to you as soon as I've got an ID.
I'll be standing by.
Edgar, I need you to run a locate on this number.
It's a cellular account.
Can you trace the location?
I need to ping the number.
How?
It has to ring at least four times before I can triangulate the coordinates. Jameson can have me set up in a couple of minutes.
305. Searching for Dina, Navi approaches an apartment and knocks on the door. When there's no answer, he hammers impatiently.
What are you doing here?
I'm looking for Dina.
Well, Dina's not here. Why would she be?
She hasn't called you in the last hour?
No. What's going on, Navi?
Why are you blocking the door?
I'm not.
Let me in.
I told you she's not here.
You're lying.
No.
You're hiding her.
No, I'm not. Navi, no! You have no right to come in here like this. She's not here. Right then, go. Look.
Navi searches the side rooms.
He's like, that is my bedroom. You can't go in there.
What the hell's going on here?
Nothing. It's okay. Navi, please. Please go.
Look, pal. This is none of your business, all right? So I want you hiking on out of here.
Please, don't interfere.
You can either walk out of here or I'm going to throw you out. I said go!
No, Navi. Please, no. Navi, don't. Please.
Navi points a gun at his head.
Get back inside.
At gunpoint, Farah's semi-naked lover quietly edges back into her bedroom, and she closes the door. Navi heads for the front door.
Navi, don't tell my husband I beg of you.
Embarrassed, Farah tucks away the cup of her bra showing through her open dressing gown.
You disgust me.
Navi.
Navi on his cell.
Dina's not here. What about the hospitals?
Nothing so far.
Keep looking.
Behrouz brings another cushion for his ailing mother, who sits up in a hotel room bed. She drowsily clutches at a wounded arm, barely holding up with the pain. Behrouz looks at her with growing concern before placing the cushion under her arm. A cell phone rings in Dina's bag. The caller is Edgar, triangulating their whereabouts on a screen.
Is it your father?
I can't tell.
Don't answer it.
Edgar's software locks onto the signal and pinpoints their position.
We got it.
Where?
A hotel in Chatsworth.
Download the coordinates to Jack's PDA.
There's a backup.
Yeah.
We traced the call to a fixed location. We're sending it to you now.
Hold on a second. Okay, I got it. We're less than 10 minutes out.
I'll have a tactical team in place by the time you get there.
Thank you.
Body's over there by my car. He was taken out by a sniper from the north roof. Once you take your photographs, get the body back to CTU as fast as possible. Come on, Tony, we gotta go.
Wait, Jack.
Look, I think I'm done here today.
What are you talking about?
CTU backup's here. You don't need me anymore. I need you to see this through with me.
I appreciate the sentiment, Jack, but you don't have to prop up my ego.
Tony, this isn't about you. If we don't find the override device within an hour, we're gonna have six major nuclear disasters. So please, get in the car. Let's go.
Tony considers for a moment, looks around at the CTU agents busy with forensics, and shakes his head as he walks over to Jack's four-track and jumps in. 309. Jack and Tony make their way to the hotel in Chatsworth. Dina becomes feverish.
Mom, we've got to get you some help.
I'm okay.
I'm sorry. This is my fault.
Your father shot me. Not you.
Because you were trying to stop him from killing me.
Everything that's happening today, what we've all been fighting to achieve, it's more important to him than anything or anyone.
But not to you.
As she looks fondly on Beru's, she momentarily loses consciousness.
Mom? I need to get you something for the pain.
I'll be fine. I just need to rest.
I can get it from Nassim.
No.
The hospital he works at is right near here. I'll be right back.
Nassim doesn't know why we were really living here.
Mom, he's your brother. I'll tell him you need it and nothing else. I promise. I'll be right back.
Just hurry.
I will.
As Dina lulls into sleep, back at CTU, the situation grows worse.
Mr. Secretary, we have a meltdown. San Gabriel Island reactor's just gone critical. Core material is now airborne.
I thought we had more time.
Ms. Driscoll, I have Derek Roshner, the engineer at San Gabriel Island, on with the NRC. One of their generators exploded, cooked their comm line, so the feed is unstable. We may only have a few seconds.
Patchison.
What's going on?
We've had a meltdown in St. Gabriel Island.
All attempts to contain the core have failed. Right now my men are trying to bypass the reactor trip. That's not working either.
Mr. Rosner, this is Aaron Driscoll from CTU. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
I'm here with Secretary of Defense James Heller. What are your radiation levels?
We're at 500 rem right now. That's 10,000 times the dose of an X-ray. At this rim rate, the radiation will continue getting stronger and will spill into the atmosphere until the core has exhausted itself.
Son, you've done everything you can. Now get the hell out of there.
Evacuating won't make any difference, sir. We've already been exposed.
End of part one. Part two. 316.
Now, we analyzed the radiation clouds movement.
I'm still waiting for NGS to get a weather satellite refresh.
Get on the phone and have them expedite.
I will, as soon as I'm done rerouting these evacuation instructions.
Can't someone else do that?
No, sir. I'm short manpower.
Heller watches Fox News.
A government spokesman has just confirmed that the nuclear reactor at San Gabriel Island is in full meltdown. Emergency personnel are on site attempting to rescue workers exposed to radiation.
You're not listening to me. I've been trying to get through to a number in the St. Gabriel evacuation zone for 10 minutes. I need you to link me in to access the emergency bandwidth, and I need you to do it now.
All right, stand by.
Thank you.
Now, if you are on the road or awaiting instructions about an evacuation in your neighborhood, here are some items you and your family might need. Flashlight,
hello,
extra Mom. Battery.
Oh, hello, Edgar.
Have you seen the news?
Yes, I'm watching it now.
Then why aren't you evacuated by now? What are you still doing home?
You know I don't have a car.
Where's Margaret?
Well, I've tried to get hold of her, but the lines are all busy.
I'm surprised you got through.
What about one of your neighbors? Can't you get a ride from one of them?
No, by the time I got outside, they were all gone.
Mom, listen to me. I'm going to make some calls. I'm going to get someone there to help you, okay? I want you to sit by the phone and wait for my call. Can you do that?
Yes, I don't really have a choice.
I'll call you back, okay?
Okay, honey. Bye.
318. Audrey tentatively approaches the briefing room.
No, we delegated that whole situation to Murphy's group, sir.
I'm not interested in who got it wrong. We don't have the luxury of miscommunications. I'm assigning someone from my office to coordinate between the state police and the National Guard. Set up the conference call in 10 minutes. Thank you all.
She waits for everyone to leave, then joins her weary father.
Are you okay?
Yeah, how are you holding up?
Considering the situation we're in, I'm doing fine. The truth of the matter is, we do not have the manpower to handle this mess.
Tell me what I can do.
I've prioritized evacuation protocol, but I need someone to keep the state police and the National Guard from bumping into each other.
All right. I'll stop the guard at the 75th mile marker and let the police take over from there. We'll maximize room for civilian traffic.
I wish we had some other way to get those people out of there.
There's nowhere else to route them.
Jack has got to find the override before the rest of these reactors go critical.
Jack arrives at the hotel in Chatsworth and rendezvous with an armed SWAT team moving into position. They are met by CTU agent Lee Castle, dressed in full assault gear.
Hey, Jack. Good to have you in the field again.
Thanks, Lee. You remember Tony Almeida?
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing here, though.
I want him here.
Well, he's not authorized to be in the field.
I'm going through that door first. I want him there to back me up.
Fine. Get another vest.
You got a visual on the suspect?
We've got a fiber optic camera inside the room. According to the manager, we're grabbing a mid-40s female and a teenage male. Possibly mother and son. Both Middle Eastern.
Okay, we need the suspects alive. They're no good to us dead.
I've been briefed.
Let's go.
320. Dina is observed through a fiber optic tube that feeds an image onto a handheld screen.
Agent Castle, we got a visual on the woman.
What about the kid?
I haven't seen him yet.
We gotta go. Now.
A heavily armed SWAT team takes up position on either side of the corridor outside Dina's door. Jack and Tony lead the way. As Castle places a key card in the lock, Dina hears him and grabs a gun from under her pillow.
You ready? Go.
Dina tries to shoot herself.
Don't move! Drop the weapon!
Jack knocks her gun away. Castle grabs her.
Where is the override? Tell me who's got it. Tell me.
Yeah!
Now!
Agent Castle!
Castle, stand down! Please stand down!
Tony pins him to the wall.
We gotta get her to talk.
She's gonna go into shock before she does. Just relax.
Agent Castle, step outside. Now! I want to print some photographs and I'll receive you immediately.
He has no right to give me orders.
Hey, come here. He did the right thing. That woman was willing to kill herself. She died before she gave us anything through force.
We need to get her to talk before the other reactors go critical.
And we will.
What you have in mind?
We need to find some leverage.
You, Hud?
Yes, Jack. Put me through to Aaron.
322. Tony calms Dina down.
Let me see her.
Driscoll.
Aaron, we've got a suspect. I'm sending you fingerprints and photographs. I need you to run a profile and send me all relevant databases and electronic communications.
Got it.
Thank you.
Hey, I understand your concerns about Almeida, but for me, please just give him a break.
Okay, Jack.
Jack!
Thanks.
Yeah?
This is a bullet wound. Probably a couple hours old.
Behrouz arrives at Nassim's hospital.
Appears now to be in full swing with major delays on all grounds.
Excuse me.
So, a nuclear emergency team has just emerged from the plant. We can see them here on our sky cam. They seem to be going through some kind of contamination.
Nassim looks deeply troubled. He notices Behrouz and comes over to him.
Behrouz.
Uncle Nassim.
You all right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a disaster what's happening today. Everyone's panicked about radiation poisoning. They all want iodide pills and we're almost out. Is that why you're here? No. I need pain medication. It's for my mother. She couldn't reach her doctor by phone, so she wanted me to get it from you.
What's wrong with her?
It's her back. She can barely walk.
She needs a prescription.
I told you. She couldn't reach her doctor.
I'll see what I can do, okay? Just have a seat.
Nassim withdraws back through a door into the hospital offices. As Behrouz waits, he mulls over in his mind what he should do next. Alarmed at Behrouz's behavior, he decides to call Navi.
Yes?
Navi, it's Nassim.
Hello, Nassim. How are you?
I'm well, but Behrouz just showed up at the hospital. He seems disturbed.
Is Dina there too?
No, he says he needs pain medication for her, that there's something wrong with her back, but he's acting very strange.
I'm sorry you have to be involved in this, I see.
Involved in what? What's going on?
Leroux may be taking drugs.
It's been getting worse.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
What do you want me to do?
Keep Leroux there until I can come for him.
How long will you be?
15 minutes.
I'll do my best, but...
Please, Nassim, don't let him leave until I get there.
Nassim checks on Behrouz as he continues to wait unwittingly in the waiting room. 3:29. CTU briefing room.
Excuse me, Miss Raines, I'm Edgar Stiles.
We've got a major non-compliance problem. I've got 25% of the evacuees who aren't going where they're being told to go, and another 25% that don't even know that they're in the evac zone. However you need to do it, make sure it gets done. I'm sorry, what is it?
It's my mother.
Your mother?
She lives near St. Gabriel Island. She's in a wheelchair. She doesn't drive. She missed a call to evacuate. Now I don't know what to do.
Maybe someone from the National Guard can get her.
I already spoke to the area commander. He said he couldn't spare anyone.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what I can do.
Here's his number. I thought maybe if you called him yourself. Look, I hate asking for special treatment. That's not something I would normally do, but she's my mother.
I can't make any promises.
Just promise me you'll try, okay?
All right.
Audrey accepts the written number from Edgar. 3:30. Dina is escorted out of the hotel room by a CTU medic.
I want you to give her something for the pain, but make sure she stays lucid. Understand?
Tony joins Jack in the next room. Jack quickly skims through Dina's records on his laptop.
Have you found out who she is yet?
Yeah. Her name is Dina Rash. She immigrated to the United States 5 years ago, became a citizen 2 years ago, married to Navia. He's also a naturalized citizen. Owns an electronics store in Carson. They have one son, Baru, 17. A junior at the local high school. None of them have criminal records.
They pop up on any watch lists?
No, they must have slipped under the radar. Let's send some teams over to the house and the store, see what we can find.
Yeah?
Jack, it's Driscoll.
Homeland Security has...
Hold on, Aaron. I can barely hear you. Go ahead.
After the attack this morning, Homeland Security has been archiving select communications in the L.A. area. They pulled up a call that may explain how Dina Arraz got shot.
Aaron, I'm going to put you on speakerphone. Hold on a second. You're on.
This conversation happened about 2 hours ago between the mother and the son.
He wants me dead because I messed up with Debbie.
Bruce, that's not possible. Your father would never want to hurt you.
It's true. Sir, he told me everything.
He was lying.
No. He wasn't. Mom, I don't know what to do. You have to help me.
Where are you now?
I'm near the Metrolink station on Lassen in Chatsworth.
Are you using Tariq's car?
Yes.
Hide it. I'll pick you up there in a half hour.
Hurry.
That's it. Let me know the minute you get something from her.
Yeah. We got our leverage.
3:33. Jack hurries back into the room where Agent Castle is holding Dina and gestures Castle to leave. Dina sits impassively on the sofa and stares back at Tony, who stands guard by the door, and then at Jack, who bides his time in silence. He walks over to the bathroom and rinses his hands under the tap, gently patting water onto his face to revive him. The tattoo of the Salazar clan still emblazoned on his forearm, a reminder of the cost of success. Jack studies the mirror and seems perplexed by his own reflection. Cornered, Dina watches him with attitude, like a surly teenager, as Jack casually dries his hands.
How long have you been planning this operation? 2 years? 5 years? 10? All this planning for one day. You do realize if all the reactors melt down, hundreds of thousands of people will die.
Every war has casualties.
These people don't know about your war. These people are innocent.
No one is innocent.
You really believe that?
As strongly as you believe in what you believe. But I won't waste your time or mine trying to explain something you can never understand.
Maybe I understand more than you think.
I doubt it.
I know that something happened today to challenge your commitment to your war. You weren't willing to let your son become a casualty. That's why you were shot. Protecting him from his father. I understand that. I know what it's like to watch your child be threatened and feel helpless to do anything about it. Right now, Bruce is out there alone. And you and I know he's not going to last very long. His father will find him and kill him. There is another option. If you were to help us find the override device, we will protect your son.
So he can spend the rest of his life in prison?
No, so he can walk away from all of this, immune from prosecution.
How?
Mrs. Arras, your son is a minor. He's 17 years old. I can get him a legal and binding pardon signed by the President of the United States.
You don't have the authority to do this.
I can reach the President. If you provide us with the information that allows us to find the override device in time, I am confident that the President will sign that pardon. And this offer expires the second another reactor melts down. Do you understand me? You don't have a lot of time, I would think, about this.
Jack pretends to leave.
Show me this document, and I'll help you find what you want.
Jack glances back at Tony. 3:36. End of part 2. 3:40. Keeler.
Can we rule out this boy's involvement with a terrorist action?
No, sir. It's likely he knew of his parents' plans. He probably helped them.
Jack, you're asking me to grant clemency to a terrorist.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, but I don't think we have a choice. In all of my professional experience, I believe that we have to give in to this woman's demands.
Have we tried negotiating with her?
We don't have time. In approximately 2 hours, 5 nuclear reactors are going to go critical unless we find the override device. She is our only link.
Well, I'm uncomfortable with this, but I trust your judgment.
I'll release the letter.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Make sure that document is non-binding.
Yes, I understand. I'll get back to you on the redeployment figures.
Ms. Raines, did you talk to them?
Yes. Edgar, I'm sorry they can't get your mother.
Why not? They're 5 miles off the highway. It wouldn't take that much time.
They know where she is.
Then what's the problem?
Thousands of people are stuck in the interstate in traffic. It's taken the combined efforts of the police and the National Guard to get them moving.
So who cares about one old woman?
They've got to throw their resources into saving the maximum number of lives.
If my mother were rich or a politician, they'd find a way to save her.
3:42. Audrey stares back, looking both moved and helpless. Edgar angrily stomps across the concourse towards his workstation and considers his next move. He picks up the phone and dials.
This is Edgar Stiles. I need another switch and station to that number. Do you need it again?
No, I've got it logged. Hold on.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Mom.
Hello, honey.
Mom, I've been trying everything. I can't get anyone out there to help you. I've done everything I could. I did.
I'm sure you did, honey.
It's okay.
It's not okay. The fallout's coming toward you. It's 15 miles away.
I know.
I'm watching it on the news. And I know what to do.
Ma, there's nothing you can do. You can't stuff towels under the door.
That's not what I'm talking about doing, Edgar.
What do you mean?
They've been talking about radiation poisoning on the news. That's not something I want to go through, especially since there's only one way it can end. Honey, I want to end things on my terms, as opposed to all that pain and suffering.
Mom.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the only thing, you know that.
No, I don't.
You have been a wonderful son, Edgar.
You've been a gift to me and your father. It's okay. I'm going to a better place, and
I'll see you there. But not for a long time.
You've got a lot ahead of you. Great things.
Maybe I can get someone to you. I'll keep trying.
You've got a very important job to do there.
A lot of people are counting on you. So I'm gonna hang up now. And I want you to know how very, very much I love you.
Mom. Mom.
Too upset to speak, Edgar replaces the handset and grieves. Finally, emerging from the numbness of shock, he snatches up his coat and makes to leave. Driscoll sees him go.
Edgar, where are you going? Edgar!
I have to get out of here.
What are you talking about?
My mother. She lives next to the San Gabriel Island nuclear plant. She wasn't able to evacuate in time.
We still have 5 other nuclear reactors that are on the verge of melting down. I need you at your station.
I don't care what you need.
You better start caring. You have a choice right now. Obey orders or end up in a jail cell.
You arrest me for trying to save my mother's life?
Edgar, what you're saying is true. There's nothing you can do for your mother. But there are thousands of other people whose lives you can save. Now, suppose your mother were here right now. What would make her proud? What do you think she'd want you to do?
You'd want me to help.
Then don't you think you should?
Defeated, Edgar returns to his workstation and buries his head in his hands. 3:46. Jack hands Dina a presidential letter.
We're ready to go. We're just setting up a convoy.
This is a pardon for your son signed by the president.
This is acceptable.
Where is he?
He's at Lindauer Memorial Hospital. It's not far.
Set up a perimeter around Lindauer Memorial.
I want you to call him. Tell him we're coming to pick him up.
Give me the phone. Maintain perimeter. Stay out of sight until further instructions.
We have to record the call.
Stand by.
Dina dials Baruse on a special monitored cell phone.
Hello?
It's me. Where are you?
Waiting for Nassim. I don't know why it's taking so long.
Don't worry about that now. Things have changed.
What do you mean?
Listen carefully, Beerus. Government agents found me. I'm with them now. Beerus, they know everything.
Beerus, just a few more minutes, okay?
But it's all right. Everything is going to be all right. I made a deal.
What are you talking about?
You're going to be okay. You won't be arrested or even named in any of this.
I don't understand.
I'm going to help them stop your father.
You are?
Yes.
You said that I would be okay. But what about you?
We'll talk about that later. Right now, these men are coming to pick you up. I want you to go with them.
Are they making you say this?
No.
I don't know who these people are. I want to be sure that they're not forcing you to say this.
I'll come with them. You'll know when you see me, okay?
I'll meet you outside.
No. Tell him to go to the emergency room. I want him to stay where it's crowded.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
I'll see you in a few minutes, Berus.
Okay.
We're transferring the suspect. I want to set up a protective cordon right away.
Copy that.
Let's go.
Jack leads Dina away. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Berus struggles to decide what he should do. Eventually, he makes up his mind and approaches Nassim.
Uncle Nassim, I have to go.
What about the pain medication?
My mom's gonna hear from somewhere else, but thanks for trying.
Berus!
He grabs hold of him.
I can't let you go.
Why not?
I spoke to your father.
What?
He told me you need help.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Hey. I gave your father my word.
My father is a terrorist. He's involved in what's happened today.
Stop talking nonsense.
I swear it's true.
You're talking nonsense.
No, I'm not. He's behind the kidnapping this morning and the reactor's melting down. We're all involved, my mother and me. We've killed people.
Father will be furious when he hears this.
Father's coming here. No! Berus!
3:49. Berus hightails along a hospital corridor in a bid to escape. Nassim chases after him. Meanwhile, Jack and Tony bundle Dina into their four-track and at the head of a convoy of CTU vehicles make their way to the hospital. Berus continues to weave through a twisting maze of hospital corridors, constantly checking behind him for any sign of Nassim. As Berus rounds another corner, a familiar figure saunters toward him with deadly calm, his hands concealed behind his back. It's Navi.
I tried to stop him.
Navi shoots his own brother-in-law dead through the heart and grabs hold of Berus, dragging him through a side door and down into a stairwell. After forcing him down a couple of flights of stairs, Navi pins his son to the wall with his fist. Then as he catches his breath, he suddenly softens with regret.
You broke my heart, Berus.
Pointing a gun at Berus' head.
You broke my heart.
If you kill me, Mother will tell them everything. The police, she's with them.
I don't believe you.
It's the truth. She wants me to be safe, and if you kill me, she will ruin everything you're doing. If you don't believe me, look outside. They're coming to pick me up.
3:50. End of part 3. 3:55. Navi drags Berus further down the stairs. Security guards dash about as Jack and Tony arrive at the hospital.
Tony, should you notify security?
No.
Something is wrong.
Set up a level 3 cordon around the hospital.
You got it.
I'm going with you.
No, you're not!
As Dina sits caged in the back of the four-track, Jack sprints up a staircase, toting his gun, and straight into a busy hospital corridor. He questions a startled security officer.
What's going on here?
There's been a shooting.
Who?
One of the pharmacists. Who are you?
My name is Jack Bauer. I work at the counter-terrorist unit. We've been tracking the man who did the shooting. Where is he?
Someone just raided in from the Sea Wing. Saw a Middle Eastern man running. He has a hostage.
A 17-year-old boy?
I think so.
What are the possible exits from that wing?
From where he's spotted, he's pretty much got to end up in the east parking garage. We've got men heading there now.
You tell your supervisor to tell his men to back off. No one makes contact with him. Do you understand me?
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Sides.
Yeah. Tony, it's Jack. Navi Araz is here. He's already killed his wife's brother.
What about the boy?
I don't know. We're going to have to lock down all the exits. I think he's headed for the parking garage. I need you to meet me on the east side of the building with backup.
Copy that. We're going to the east side of the building. We need backup teams there right away.
Jack tries a lift. Nothing happens. Tony back in the car.
What happened?
We're still looking for your son.
There's no 10.
Mrs. Araz, we're going to find your son, all right?
As Tony drives to the other side of the building, Navi drags Berus out of the stairwell and into an underground car park.
Hey, I've always hated you.
And the only reason I never said so was because I was afraid of you. But I'm not afraid of you anymore. Get in. Go to hell. Get in.
3:57. As Na'vi forces Baruz into a car, armed SWAT teams flood in through the exit gate, and Tony arrives in the four-track.
Jack, we're in the garage now. We've secured the exit.
I'm almost there. Can you get an ID?
No, nothing yet.
Na'vi pulls away in his car and heads for the exit. Jack emerges from the stairwell ahead of them and tries to stop them with his gun. Na'vi plows into Jack, bouncing him off his car windscreen. Jack recovers enough on the ground to shoot out one of the tires, causing Na'vi to crash. Na'vi drags Baruz from the stricken car, and shielding himself from Jack, uses Baruz as a hostage.
Let me see your hands! Put your hands where I can see them now!
Careful!
Drop the gun!
You'll hit the boy!
Let the boy go! We can work this out. I will put my gun down if you give me the boy. All I want is the boy!
Put the gun down!
Save him! Put the gun... Tony, stop the car!
Yes!
Keep her in the car!
That stairwell leads to the basement. He's got nowhere to go but down. Set up a link with CTU now.
Copy that. Call CTU. We need backup here. Mr. Raz, calm down. We'll get your son, all right? Calm down.
As Na'vi darts down another stairwell with his hostage son and hides in the concrete gloom of the hospital basement, the evacuation continues in the shadow of a nuclear meltdown. President Keeler ponders grim-faced in the safety of Air Force One, and Edgar grieves his sick mother's certain death.
We've uploaded the plans to you from the building department.
There are only three exits from the hospital's basement.
We've got all entrances and exits covered. He's trapped down there.
Let's try to open up a negotiation.
My husband won't negotiate.
Why is that?
He doesn't need to. He has to assume I have agreed to help you in return for my son's safety.
Well, he can't stay down there with him forever.
He won't. In 2 hours, all the reactors will have gone critical. After that, it won't matter what I tell you. And he can kill my son. I am only helping you to save his life. I believe in our cause. And if you can't save my son, I am happy to see the reactors melt down.
Did you get that?
4 p.m. The end.